The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. The disciples of Jesus, not the crowds, but his disciples, began to murmur and say, "Who can accept this teaching?" What are they talking about? What is the challenge that they're dealing with? Well, we would have heard it last Sunday, but because this year the Feast of the Assumption happened to be on Sunday, we skipped part of the reading from John chapter 6 that we have been going through for the last few weeks. But this is a very important part of that chapter and of our faith that I'm going to share it with you. It's short. Don't worry. You won't get two full gospels. It starts by saying, Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, I in him. Just as the Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." This is what they had a problem with. Even the disciples of Jesus, believing that what we're going to receive in a few minutes is not bread and wine, but the true body and blood of Christ, Jesus in his humanity and divinity. And this is not just like a theoretical question, okay, fine, I believe, what's the big deal? No, it is a big deal because there is consequences. Jesus says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You will not have eternal life. So for us to be able to get to heaven, We need to believe that what we receive is truly the body and blood of Jesus. It's not a symbol, it's not a sign. And many Catholics today, just at the time of Jesus, have a problem with this teaching. And they don't believe that it's truly the body and blood of Christ. Now, why, I mean, what does we have, do we have to believe and to receive it? Is it all like, you know, jumping through hoops? No, receiving the body and blood of Jesus, believing it is the body and blood of Jesus, is the way of life, is the covenant that God has presented to his people from the beginning of time, even before Jesus, as we heard at the first reading. It's about having a relationship between us and God, that God is part of our daily lives. It's like that image of marriage that we heard about in the second reading, how a husband and wife live together as the one body, as one couple. It's about interaction. It's about talking to each other. It's about making decisions together, about asking one another, what do you think? We don't live our lives on our own. That's it, that God is somehow an absentee God. He's in heaven. We're on earth. We can do whatever we want to. God wants a love relationship with us. That's what the covenant is. Just what St. Paul says in his reading, live in my love. He wants to live in our love. That's why it's essential for us to believe that what we receive is Jesus and live that way. Or else what we're saying, you know, I can get to heaven on my own. I don't need God. He gave me, you know, the commandments. He tells me what's right and what's wrong, and I can do it on my own. No, we can't. We need Jesus, and that's how we, for us as Catholics, remember that we need God to get to heaven. We cannot live that love that Jesus loved us with on our own. And his body and blood is what transforms us, what helps us from the inside to grow in love, and little by little, as we continue our journey, to live more and more like Jesus loved us. All of you who are married or in love, you know that's not easy. If only one person of that relationship, say the husband or the wife or the boyfriend and the girlfriend, is only really living the love and the other is not, they don't consider him as part of their lives, that's not a good relationship. It's not a healthy relationship, might as well not a loving relationship. And sometimes we treat God the same way. Oh, yeah, you know, I love you, God. But then we go on living our lives without paying any consideration to God. That's what the Eucharist would help us to do. And that's why it's essential for us to believe it's truly the body and blood of Jesus. It's us admitting, Lord, I need you. And when we celebrate the Eucharist, remember, I've been going through the steps, the different parts of the Mass, and the liturgy of the Eucharist, it's not just the bread and wine that's being transformed, it's each one of us. We're offering ourselves to God and saying, Lord, help us to love like you loved us. Help us to love as we remember your love that led you to die for us on the cross while we are sinners and you're perfect. That's how we want to love one another. So we are being transformed through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit transforms the gifts of bread and wine. And the part of Mass that I will talk about is now the last part that has two small rites, the communion rite, which starts after the liturgy of the Eucharist, where we end up with us saying amen to the prayer of the priest. Now that we have been transformed, that we opened ourselves to God's grace, and we celebrated Jesus' death on the cross for us that forgives us our sins, our venial sins have been forgiven, we stand up and we can call God our Father again. And that's why we pray together, our Father. Because it's through remembering what Jesus has done for us, its impact, its effect becomes real to us that all our venial sins are forgiven. Not because we deserve it, because that's why Jesus died for us on the cross. He took our place and paid for our sins. So we can call God our Father. So one day we can be with God in heaven as his children. And after the Our Father, now that we reconcile ourselves with God, then we need to reconcile one another, ourselves with one another. And that's why the sign of peace, the sign of peace is not just a handshake, yeah, peace be with you. It's about, because sometimes we hurt one another, even among family members. This is the time when you turn to your spouse, when you turn to your children, when you turn to your parents and say peace with you, saying, I forgive you just as I have been forgiven by God. That's what that sign means. It's not like a hello in church. It's like you have given the gift that you have just received to those who offended you, to those who hurt you. And after the sign of peace, then we enter into the fraction rite where the priest, you know, takes the body of Christ, the blood of Christ usually, and we distribute it in the different soboria, in the different chalices, so it could be offered to all of us. And we sing the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, to remind us again, what are we doing and why we're doing this? What's this all about? And we say it with humility. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. And then the priest will take a small piece of the body of Christ. You see it, we'll put it in the chalice with the blood of Christ to signify that what you're going to receive is the living Christ, the risen Christ. His body and blood are back together. And then we come for communion. We come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ so we can live in the love that Jesus offers to each one of us. So our marriages will be truly about love. Our family life with our children, with our parents, with our siblings is truly about love. Our lives in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, we're loving that Jesus, like Jesus loved us. Not because we are receiving back of love, not because we deserve it, but because that's how Jesus loved us, unconditionally, before we even say yes to anything. And the communion rite will end with the prayer after communion. And again, that's one of those three prayers that wherever you go in a church on Sunday, a Catholic church, you're going to hear the same three prayers. The collect, the opening prayer, the prayer over the gift, and then the communion prayer. Then we enter the next rite, which is called the concluding rite. And first we have, you know, sometimes announcements. And the reason we have announcements is, remember, we're gathered here as a family, God's family. And as any family, we want to know what's going on, what's the news, what's new. So the announcement is to help us to realize what's going on in our spiritual family here at Holy Family. And then after the announcement, we have the dismissal. The Mass doesn't end here at the end of the Mass. The Mass continues as you leave the church. Now that you've received the word of Christ, now that you have received the body and blood of Christ, you are sent out to the world to live what you receive, to live that love, to put into action what happened here. And that's why our dismissal usually goes like, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Go in peace, glorifying God by your life. There's an action to it. We come here to become more and more like Christ through his help, through his words, and through the Eucharist. And then we go out to the world to transform the world as we were transformed. The first reading, Joshua tells the people, it's decision time. You have to decide, are you going to serve the Lord or are you going to serve other gods? Today is decision time for each one of us. Are we going to believe the words of Jesus, who said over and over, unless you eat my body and drink my flesh, you have no eternal life? And if Jesus did not mean that literally, why did his disciples leave him? And Jesus knew why they were leaving. Why didn't he stop him and say, hey, wait a second, I don't mean this literally? He did not. He knew what was going on. He asked his other disciples, are you going to leave me too? Because he meant literally what he said. And for first 1,500 years of Christianity, every Christian believed that those words were literal. That what we believe is truly Jesus Christ, who through us receiving him will become more like him. So the decision for each one of us today, do you believe the words of Jesus or you don't? For me, I do believe.